All right, 3 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Happy Thursday to you. Continuing the theme of, yeah, we did okay, we can do better. We heard it from Vance Joseph earlier, the Cards defensive coordinator, and we also heard it from J.J. Watt today. Yeah, we played well defensively. There's still plenty of room to improve.
I think overall as a defense we played well. I think that we still have, myself included, have a lot of things that we can improve on and get better on, and that's the exciting part for me, that we can put together a performance like that and still have so much on the table and so many things that we can improve and get better at. So I've really enjoyed practice this week and being able to work on some of the things from the game. That's the beauty of having game one in the books, is that now you have that film to look at, learn off of, and go through some of the thoughts that went through your head, and now you move forward to game two, and I think it's a big jump from game one to game two.
I just thought about something.
Sure.
Like, think about it, and he's right, right? It's good that that we played so well, and there's a lot to still get better at. You're Tennessee. You're starting from ground zero. You're starting from square one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your defense sucked.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop the Cardinals at any point. At any point, you couldn't stop them. They were throwing the ball all over the field. They were running on you. They were passing on you. They were scoring. What was Cardinals, 4 for 5 in the red zone?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. Doing what they wanted to at will.
At will?
Yes, at will.
At will. There's nothing you could do. You couldn't get off the field on third down. The Cardinals were like 50% on third down. So you're the Tennessee defense. You're Mike Vrabel. Like, you know, the Cardinals are probably, you know, there's some things to work on, but there was a lot of positives. If you're Tennessee, you're like, we did nothing right.
Yeah.
We did nothing right. We couldn't stop anybody. We couldn't stop Hopkins. We couldn't stop Kirk. We couldn't stop Murray. We couldn't stop their running game. What did they sack Murray once? Was it once?
They sacked him. Did they even sack him once?
When he runs,
well,
he
runs out of bounds. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they did sack him once. Yeah, they did.
You got him to run out of bounds. He gave it to you. Like, there's nothing good that came out of that. So J.J. Watt's point is well taken.
It's sort of like that Mr. Freeze race in Atlanta, right? I mean, the Cardinals defense is like the guy who's got the giant head start over Mr. Freeze. I mean, when you start off week one like that, you've given yourself this large cushion in front of the team. Okay, we did things really, really well. We just have to clean up the things that we didn't do very well.
I want to race that guy so bad.
I know. I brought that up, and as soon as I did, I knew you were going to want to.
Because I think I'd beat him. If I got that head start that everybody else gets, I'm going to beat him.
I wish you folks at home could have seen the look on Mitch's face. Mitch's face did a legit "what you talking about, Willis" look on his face when Gambo said, "I think I can beat him."
It wasn't quite Chris Collinsworth slide over in the booth, but it was certainly a quick whoop.
Yeah, Mitch got his head went to the left. Like, what did he just say? Yeah,
I said, I you give me a head start like that, I ain't losing to that guy.
I will say this: Gambo obviously takes care of himself. He's very active. Nobody beats the Freeze.
One guy,
or it's
what if he
very
fell
rare.
Down?
Has anybody ever beaten him?
I don't even know. Only a couple.
Yeah, I think he has lost a few times.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't come here. You'll lose again. Don't come here, Mr. Freeze.
God, seriously. So, honestly, this is one of those situations I would put up very real money of my own to get you on the field with
Mr.
Freeze.
Well, good, because sports betting's now legal here, so we can
do that. Not to bet on it, just to make sure, I mean, whatever, to a plane ticket to get Gambo to Atlanta to know that
I'm
he's
sure
going to be in the competition.
I'm sure we can crowdfund that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could. I would love to see you versus Mr. Freeze.
I'm going to ask the audience to see what they think.
Would you
Gambo
chip in?
Or the Freeze? Who would win?
Oh. You'd have to find out what the details. Like, I don't know what the details are. Like, how far does that guy got to run before the other guy catches him?
I've seen it a million times.
I've seen it. That's why I think I'd beat him.
I think the guy is starting somewhere in center field, and Mr. Freeze is starting at the left field foul pole. Right?
I'll totally beat him. I would totally beat him.
I would totally pay to watch to see you try. I would pay good money to watch to see you try.
I put that treadmill on like 10 or 11 a couple times a week, and I sprint.
All right.
I sprint.
Good money. I'd pay good money. This could be a big weekend for Watt. And the reason I say that is something that we were talking about pre-show. When Chandler Jones has 5 sacks, when Chandler Jones has 2 forced fumbles, you got to imagine they're going to start paying a little more attention to him now if you're the Minnesota Vikings. That could be exactly the thing that unlocks JJ. And not that JJ Watt had a bad game. He didn't. He just didn't have a real, like, obvious game out there. He stuffed Derrick Henry a couple of times, one for a loss and one right at the line of scrimmage, if I remember, that kind of helped set that early tone.
He was fine.
But in terms of getting to the quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised at all if this is the weekend where things free up for him a little bit, because they're going to pay so much attention to Chandler Jones after what he did.
Yeah, and if they go back and forth, I got no problem. He had four quarterback pressures in the game. He had two tackles on Derrick Henry. One resulted in a one-yard loss. Another was a zero-yard gain. I mean, here's a guy with 100-plus sacks in his career. He'll be fine. He'll get sacks. How many, I don't know. But he will get some sacks.
Yeah,
might be this week against Minnesota and Kirk Cousins.
Watt also sees, and some people have said the same thing, similarities between the Titans' offense and the Vikings' offense.
There's some similarities and there's some differences. Certainly, I think that they're both very, very good running backs. Obviously, I think they have a bit different styles in the way that they do things, but there are also some things that are similar. So for us, a lot of it comes down to us playing our game and making sure we do what we're supposed to do. You know, I think that's when you get yourself in trouble with a great back, is when you start trying to do too much or guys start trying to put too much on their plates. A great running back is going to make you pay for your mistakes. So that's the number one thing you have to do, is just trying to eliminate your own mistakes.
And it's funny, we were talking at the beginning of the show about how this is the first home game in 18 years or whatever without Larry Fitzgerald. This is the first home game with J.J. Watt, and he tends to be a guy that the home crowd gets behind. If he does something...
I haven't even thought about that. I actually like that point.
You're losing a guy that often engages the crowd.
You're gaining a guy
who often engages the crowd.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, thank you.
I didn't think about that, but you're right. J.J. Watt gets a sack, play to the crowd, because they're going to go nuts for you when you get a sack.
Absolutely. If he gets a take, you bet they are. That megawatt play, him, Lucky Fotu on the field.
This is great.
This is really. He said he didn't mind being a decoy in that formation.
He had a good idea, obviously, that there'd be some attention paid to that when I stepped in, and it worked out perfectly. It's good. I mean, whatever I can do to help the team. I mean, that's what I've said the whole time. So if it takes that, if it takes blocking down there, whatever they need me to do, I'm just here to help.
Then went on to say he had no idea what was going on behind him.
I said it. I was mic'd up, and I think they caught it where they said I didn't know where the play was going. That's not a joke. I did not know where the play was going. Like we put the play in, and it was kind of like a throwaway conversation. Like, hey, we're gonna have Megawatt in this week. You'll line up in the backfield and go here. And I said, okay. And we walked through it one single time with me and Lecky all week. But I didn't, even in the walkthrough, I was just focused on what we were doing. I wasn't 100% sure where the ball went. And then I went to block the guy, and he wasn't even trying to get me. So I was like, all right, the ball's probably not here. And I looked on the Jumbotron, and Kyler was in the end zone. I was like, all right, it's fine. It works for me. I don't care. I don't care what happens. I was going to block whoever I was supposed to block.
It's great. I had no idea what a ball was. You know what? Neither did the entire Tennessee Titans defense.
No.
They didn't know where the ball was either. That's one of my favorite memories from the first week, is Kyler like turning around and being like,
straight up in the air.
There's nobody here.
Yep. Oh, hey, look, no one's going to bother covering me. Okay, fine. Yeah.
I just tricked out the entire defense of the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to walk into the end zone here.
That was fantastic.
It was just great.
Yeah. Text the word Red Sea right now to 620-620. We've got another winner coming up in just about 25 minutes or so. You could win a pair of tickets to see the Cardinals home opener this Sunday. Text Red Sea, REDSEA. To 620-620. Also, one grand prize winner. Going to get an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. Again, text Red Sea to 620-620. The Vikings defense had its struggles last season. Now they have Patrick Peterson in the fold. What kind of challenge could the Minnesota defense present on Sunday for the Cards? That's next. Burns and Gambo.
Giants tonight, right? Giants Washington?
Yes.
All right. I'm down.
Taylor Heinicke in the start for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
That sensational playoff game. Nearly beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
They had him.
I was reading. I know you're like a quasi-Giants fan, right?
Yeah, it's my team.
That's your team. Daniel Jones. Tick tock, tick tock, man. How much longer you're giving him if you're the New York Giants? I was looking at some of his numbers. He's been awful.
Right.
With the turnovers and the fumbles and the lack of production. Now, they went out and got Kenny Golladay. They spent a lot of money on him. They got healthy Saquon Barkley back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You just wonder how much longer Daniel Jones has. And I would imagine Dave Gettleman's future is kind of tied to Daniel Jones,
well,
right?
He took him sixth overall in 2019.
Yeah.
I would think that he I mean, if this is a bad year, then you probably start looking at the draft and seeing, you know, you don't get 5 years anymore.
No.
19, 20, 21, 3 years. If you can't get this team anywhere, maybe they'll look somewhere else.
That's Thursday Night Football tonight. Joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, we were stalling for just a moment or two, our good friend Darren Urban from azcardinals.com. He joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. How you doing, Darren?
Gentlemen, how are you?
And first time in 18 years is going to be a home game without Larry Fitzgerald. How crazy is that?
Yeah, all I can think about Gambo is the fact that I was at the 3 years of home games before he was a Cardinal. I just feel like very old at this point.
Yeah, we all go back to Vince Tobin and Dave McGinnis and Kent Graham and Dave Brown and Stoney Case. That time did go fast, but it is crazy to think that this is going to be the first time in, 2003 was it, Burns?
2003, yeah, 2003.
That there'll be a home game where the fans don't get to see Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's still a topic from here and there, but, I mean, I think it's I'd be shocked at this point if he ever plays football again, and so we kind of move on. And obviously the way the Cardinals played last week, if they can continue to play like that, I'm not sure. With all due respect to Larry, many people are going to be thinking about him if they continue to play like that.
That's something that Gambo brought up, and I'm glad you kind of led us in that direction. If the Cardinals are projecting to be a bad football team, which they're certainly not after beating the Titans like that, then maybe that Fitz angle is really an angle this weekend. I don't know if anyone's really thinking about it that much after they dismantled Tennessee the way they did it. It's funny how that has a way of becoming the priority. When you look as good as the Cardinals do, suddenly you're not worried about Fitz or Patrick Peterson or any of that stuff, right?
Well, I mean, again, you're trying to build your roster so that you could win, and you know, for various reasons. Obviously, Patrick Don is a free agent. Larry isn't retired, but he's retired, and you know, honestly, offensively at this point, I mean, I don't even know what you would do in terms of if Fitz did want to come back, you know, where do you put him? I mean, unless somebody gets hurt, I think you got four receivers, you're pretty happy.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I mean, we talked a lot about the balanced offense before, how balanced this offense is with all the different weapons they have. You know, Hopkins' numbers were down a little bit from, you know, what he normally does, but Kirk was up, and A.J. Green got a lot of targets, and Rondale Moore and Chase Edmonds. And it almost reminds me of the Suns when they had Nash and Amari and Sean Marion and Quentin Richardson and Joe Johnson and just, you know, all these players to just try to distribute the ball to. It does look like this is a more balanced offense than anything we've seen in a while from the Cardinals.
Well, you keep your fingers crossed that, you know, we'll see if it produces against all the defenses and it's not just the Titans playing poorly or whatever it was. But, you know, I think a little bit back to when Bruce Arians' offense was going really well, they had a lot of guys you could throw to. I mean, Fitz ended up producing big numbers in those offenses, but you had Michael Floyd and Smoke Brown and Andre Ellington and David Johnson and, you know, just various targets that you could go with, depending on who was covered and who wasn't. And it was nice to see it kind of moving around. But that also, that's what's going to happen when you score points. I mean, one of the issues that this team had down the stretch last year was they weren't scoring points. So if you don't have the ball, there's not going to be a lot of offensive, you know, catches to go around because you don't have a lot of plays. And what you saw the other day was they were able to move the ball pretty consistently.
Darren Urban from azcardinals.com, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, talking Cardinals-Vikings coming up on Sunday. For you, from your perspective, you're around the team obviously every day, watching all the practices. What was the more pleasant surprise, or the more, I don't know, pleasant, that's probably the wrong word, but that Zaven Collins, that Jordan Hicks got all those snaps over Zaven Collins, or that Marco Wilson held up as well as he did in his first ever NFL game?
I would say that given how much we saw Jordan Hicks practicing all training camp, I would say to me the bigger surprise was Marco Wilson not really being noticed as a rookie cornerback back there. I mean, let's face it, the Titans never got their passing game going at all. But, I mean, to have A.J. Brown and especially Julio Jones be complete non-factors was kind of crazy given everything we've said about these cornerbacks and what might happen. And yes, the pass rush was a big part of it, but I would also say go back to a couple of those Chandler Jones sacks. If you watch, Ryan Tannehill was going to throw the ball and then pulled it back because of the coverage, and then Chandler Jones hit him. So it wasn't all pass rush. There was secondary in there. And I would think with the Collins and Hicks thing, I mean, Vance Joseph said today, a big part of it was the Collins was going to play a ton when they were defending the run. And then once the Cardinals got the big lead, the Titans couldn't run, and all of a sudden you were in a different kind of situation and they feel more comfortable with Hicks in the nickel package. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, and I do think Zaven Collins is going to grow as a player. But I would say, if to your original question, the fact Marco Wilson played the solid game that he did, I think that just bodes tremendously well for this team.
You know, I was watching one player in particular on game film, watching Rodney Hudson 20 yards down the field making a block on a swing pass to Rondale Moore. I mean, just the difference between him and Mason Cole, having a veteran out there. You heard Kyler Murray talk about him, I think it was yesterday too. Boy, out of all the additions they made, that one may end up being the best.
You know, I thought J.J. Watt played a solid game yesterday, and I do think he's going to help Chandler Jones and that whole defense. But I said back in March, I thought the most important move the Cardinals made was adding Rodney Hudson, and nothing changed for me watching what happened Sunday. And it goes back to what you're saying, Gambo, which is, with all due respect to Mason Cole, he just wasn't there to be what they needed him to be. And Rodney Hudson looks like he is. Whether it's telling Kyler Murray, hey, they're about to go cover zero, so you might want to check out of this play, which he did get for a touchdown pass, or whether it's running 20 yards downfield or just holding up right in the middle. That's the reason they wanted to upgrade that position, and I just think it changes a whole lot on that offense.
The last one for Darren Urban from azcardinals.com, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We referenced it briefly at the beginning of the conversation, but the return of Patrick Peterson, who has a very secure yet somewhat complicated legacy over the last couple of years, 8 Pro Bowls, but the way everything happened over the last couple of years, how do you envision that going down? What do you think that's going to be like on Sunday with him back in the building?
I think it's a good question. I said this on my podcast on the site, Dave, which is, I don't know how fans are going to react to him. I think he deserves a warm welcome. I know things didn't end the way they wanted, and I know Patrick says some stuff sometimes that gets under people's skin because he can get emotional about some stuff. But I think for what he did over a decade and what he provided, I think he's one of the better players that this franchise has ever had, and I hope he gets a warm welcome. I'm sure there's going to be some salty fans about some of the things he said this offseason, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and again, that podcast is at azcardinals.com every single week,
correct.
I imagine. All right, good stuff.
Yes.
Darren, we appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you at the game on Sunday, and thanks for coming on for a few.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Got it. Darren Urban, azcardinals.com, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. We knew that Isaiah Simmons' positional flexibility could make him a Swiss Army knife out there for the Cardinals' defense, and he was. He was everywhere. There was another guy who was everywhere as well. Some numbers that might really surprise you next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambador, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. According to Pro Football Focus, we've cited them a lot this week. Here was linebacker Isaiah Simmons' positional breakdown after Sunday. 12 snaps as a defensive lineman, 29 in the box, 16 as a slot corner, and 1 snap as an outside cornerback.
Okay.
Buda Baker, 2 snaps on the defensive line, 14 in the box, 1 as a slot corner, 3 as an outside corner, 41 as a deep safety. I mean,
let's start with Isaiah.
Okay.
Because that's what really matters. When you look at those numbers, there's one thing that stands out more than anything. 16 as a slot cornerback. 1 as an outside cornerback. So with the loss of, Malcolm Butler, excuse me. With the loss of Malcolm Butler, there was just all this, oh my God, what are they going to do? We discussed it. We talked about it. I know Mike Jarecki talked about it on his podcast, that you're going to get Isaiah Simmons playing some corner. I've talked about how he plays 5 positions and one of them slot corner. There was 17 times he lined up as a cornerback.
Yeah.
This kid's speed, instinct, size, you're not going to play him there all day long, but you can have him, depending on what the other team is showing you. That's a lot of snaps. It's not like he played 2 snaps at cornerback. He played 17 snaps
as a cornerback, and he graded out really well. He was solid. So they moved him around a little bit, like you said. Defensive lineman, in the box, as a linebacker, as a slot corner, as an outside cornerback. So that kind of gives you, for anybody who's really worried about the cornerback spot, he almost adds another cornerback to the mix.
All right, before we talk more about that, it is 3:35.
Return of the Red Sea.
All right, we had luck yesterday reading it. You want to read it? Can you read that?
Yeah, I think I can.
Okay. I don't have a printout for you, so we haven't won yet with me reading it, so we've only won with Gambo reading it.
It's time for our Return of the Red Sea winner, Kenton Shaben from Phoenix. You've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to get your tickets to the Cardinals home opener and to qualify for the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. If Kenton Shaben, doesn't call within 10 minutes, then we'll open the phone lines and someone else will get a chance to win. If you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting Red Sea to 620-620 and listen for your name in the 7 a.m. hour. Once again, Kenton Shaben, S-C-H-A-B-E-N. You've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870.
It's a professional read right there from a host, John Gambadoro. There's no doubt about that. We are
unlike Isaiah Simmons.
You really are. We can put you in the slot. We can put you on the outside.
The versatility.
Play on the line. Uh-huh. We can put you in the box. I mean, we can play you pretty much anywhere on the field.
I can drive the show. I can drive it into the ground.
Yes, you can. Yes,
I can drive it off a cliff.
To a screeching halt. Yes. You can drive this show to a screeching halt.
Well, that's not even nice.
Kenton Shaben, you've got those 10 minutes. I would do it, but I'm 0 for 2 on this, and you're 1 for 1. Mm-hmm. So if you end up being 2 for 2, you will always be the professional name.
I think I'll retire at the 2 for 2. At some point, I'll be like, okay, that's enough. I don't want to test my luck anymore.
Look, Isaiah Simmons, that's exactly as advertised. That's exactly what we thought we were going to get. That's exactly what we didn't get it last year, but it's what we were all hoping we were going to get. And that's going to become a thing to follow now every single week. Where did he get his snaps? Where did he line up? He was here. He was there. And he played it all well.
He was Roy Kent.
He was.
He was Roy Kent.
He was Roy Kent.
He's there. He's here. He's there. He's every blanket wear. Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons is Roy Kent.
Yeah, he was. But Buda Baker is the original Isaiah Simmons, right? His ability to play everywhere and his stat line. We're just accustomed to seeing Buda being moved all around the field like a chess piece, so maybe we take it for granted a little bit. His line was just as impressive. His ability to play multiple spots, just as impressive. It's just that we've seen him do it for a few years, so it doesn't wow us maybe the way it originally used to wow us with Buda.
I think with the safety, you know, you're going to see the safety up in the box when he's going to try to blitz or show blitz and then back off. And so I think mostly 41 of them were as a deep safety, which is what he is. But Buda is going to come up into that box at time because he's a good blitzer and you want to show it. And there were certain times that he came up in that box and he showed it and then he backed off just to show different looks. You want to show different looks. So he's great at that. Look, he's one of the most special players in the NFL with his versatility and his toughness and just his, to me, it's just his football IQ. I mean, his football IQ of knowing where to be and what to do is just, it's special. It's very special to watch him play.
Cliff Kingsbury says nothing surprises him about Buda.
I mean, Buda, nothing surprises me with him. I mean, he's like a little Mighty Mouse and he packs a big punch wherever he goes.
I don't know if he appreciates the little Mighty Mouse line, but yes, he is like that.
Here to save the day, right? Was that Mighty Mouse? Here to save the day? Mighty Mouse, here to save the day?
Yeah, you're right.
I think so.
Or was that Underdog?
Was Underdog here to save the day?
Was it Underdog or Mighty Mouse who was here to save the day?
Ah, damn.
I know you want help, but like, don't look at me.
I'm looking at Mitch for a lifeline. There's a Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse is here to save the day. Thank you.
Mighty Mouse is here to save the day. You confused me because I thought
I was hearing the song in my head, and I thought Underdog was here to save the day, too, but I couldn't remember. And we just asked Darren Urban about this from AZ Cardinals a second ago, azcardinals.com, about Marco Wilson. And he said, look, if you're out here watching practice every day, I wasn't surprised to see Jordan Hicks on the field as much as he was. I kind of expected that. The much bigger surprise was how well Marco Wilson held up against the Vikings. He played 91% of the snaps. And now he's got Vikings receiver Adam Thielen, a one-time All-Pro, 9 catches, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Bengals. You had A.J. Brown. You had Julio Jones. They weren't able to get on track with their offense. Great job, kid. Now go do it again. And that's the life of the NFL player at this point.
Listen, what he did to Julio Jones, he went out there and he balled, right? He didn't show any signs of, hey, I'm a rookie. I'm going up against one of the great players in the game. He wasn't scared at all. Like, he wasn't. And that's only going to build, and we joked around, right? Like, he's, you know, he made Julio Jones look like Julio Iglesias. And he's going to try to make Adam Thielen look like Adam Sandler. I mean, his ability to, if he could shut down top wide receivers, I mean, this is a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
Now, they had a second-round grade on him, had a high second-round grade on him. And they got him in the fourth round. So to them, that's kind of like a steal. Because when they did their board, he projected to be a second rounder. But getting him in the fourth round, if he ends up, I mean, what I like is, like, you didn't spend $15, $16, $17, $18 million on a cornerback. You didn't spend much on Malcolm Butler, and you lost him. But you don't have all this money tied into a cornerback right now.
I hear what you're saying. I think more than anything that I saw Sunday against Tennessee, I'm really taking a cautious wait-and-see approach with Marco Wilson. More than anything else I saw. You know, like all of the extraordinary we saw on Sunday, there's a lot of it I can look at and go, okay, that might very well be the reality of the 2021 season. That might just be how it's going to be for the Cardinals in 2021. There's something about Marco Wilson that more than anything else we saw on Sunday, I'm really, let's just see.
He's going to have his struggles.
And that's kind of what I'm feeling, yeah.
It's not going to be every week that he shuts down the opposing, you know, team's, you know, a top wide receiver. He's going to have some growing pains. But that's a good sign last week what he did to Julio Jones. He's got to feel really – they got to feel really good about what they have in him.
The Sun Devils, the higher-ranked team, they're favored to win. How concerned are we about BYU pulling an upset at home against the Devils? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo's streak is over.
What?
He didn't call.
I knew I should have just retired after one.
You probably should have. You probably should have just let it lie.
It's
my fault.
Have.
I made you do it. I was really trying to give away tickets. So
right.
Kenton Chabon didn't make it in, which means caller number 10 at 602-260-9870. You get 2 tickets to go see the Cardinals and the Vikings this weekend. Caller number 10, 602-260-9870. Cardinals, big game this weekend. Big game for ASU football as well. And joining us right now, as he does many times over the course of the season, the publisher of SunDevilSource.com, our friend Chris Cartman, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show to preview this game. Chris, thanks for joining us. Hope you're well. Appreciate the time. What's up?
I'm doing great. Hey, am I caller number 10?
You were caller number minus one because you were on the line, so I don't think sorry.
Something about not being eligible, I get that all the time, too. My wife's like, why can't I win? I don't know.
Chris, I loved what you did earlier, and I saw this tweet, and I loved how you framed this. My view of ASU's toughest to easiest remaining games, taking location, weather, travel, etc. into account. You've got this BYU game as the third toughest on the schedule behind only UCLA and Utah. What is it about it that you think makes it so tough that it would be third highest on your list like that?
Well, did you guys watch the Utah-BYU game?
Yes.
In Provo? Because that atmosphere was insane, right? And yeah, it was a rivalry game. But they packed that house, and they're loud and they're passionate. It's a difficult environment to play. Then when you look at the way that the Pac-12 has unfolded over the last couple of weeks, some of these atmospheres and teams are not as good as you would have anticipated, like Washington, for example, right? USC now looks like an easier game. ASU gets some of these teams at home. So I look at the schedule and I say, wow, other than going to UCLA, that's the obvious toughest one, the next two or three would have to include BYU and Utah in there. And then you can maybe debate me about whether USC should be there or, you know, somebody else. But I think this is now one of the toughest games on ASU's schedule. And ASU's favored by 3.5 points, right? So that also tells me that ASU is going to be favored in probably 8 of its remaining 10 games if it takes care of business.
Yeah, that's a big question, right? Now, their performance last week was pitiful to me. I mean, those two drives that UNLV's garbage. They've had one winning season in 20 years, and they're not good. And the fact that was a one-score game late third quarter, final minute, was mind-boggling to me. But with that being said, I think ASU's going to take care of business this week. I don't know why, but I just think they're better. They got more talent. They've got more speed. I know BYU's good. I respect them, but I think that ASU has not played up to their capabilities yet, and I think this is the game they're going to do it.
I agree with you about the way that they played at the outset of that UNLV game, but I liken it to going to a nice restaurant and then getting served a really bad appetizer. Even if the rest of the meal is great, you still have that aftertaste of the bad appetizer. Now, the UNLV had 10 yards or something like that after halftime. They didn't even go across their own 40 after the first 20 minutes of the game or so. ASU actually had a pretty dominant performance. It was the fewest yards that they've given up since 2009. They scored 30 unanswered points. Yes, UNLV's terrible, but then you have to look at what's going on around college football, and you have upsets all over the place, Pac-12 teams getting beaten by FCS teams, et cetera, et cetera. Definitely ASU has a lot more to show and has to play much better this week than it has previously, and they have to start better because that, of course, is, especially when you go on the road, a particular challenge. But I kind of like the matchup for ASU against BYU. Jaren Hall, not a great passer from the pocket, and I don't think they're going to have a lot of explosive plays. I think this is the type of team that ASU seems to be a decent matchup for.
Chris Cartman from SunDevilSource.com, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I guess the thing that's kind of messing with my internal process here is just how much of a mystery ASU still is at this point. They played four games last year. The two games this year against far inferior opposition, in which we really didn't learn that much about them. So answer me this, since you cover the team better than anybody I know. What do you know for sure about ASU going into this game? What are you confident in? I know this about them. I know this to be true about ASU football.
Yeah, their normal secondary is very good. They had Mason Williams gave up two third downs in the first drive by UNLV, but that's because Marcus Davis has not been healthy, and they're working Jordan Clark back in. So I think Clark will play this game, and maybe even Marcus Davis. That'll be an asset. And then, of course, the run game. Even though it wasn't a great yard per carry average by Rashad White in that game, between him and Daniel Ngata, who averaged 10 yards a carry, ASU is far and away the leading rushing team in the Pac-12 through a couple games. I don't think that they're going to fall off of that pace too much. They're going to be among the top two or three run offenses in the country. So if you have a good run offense and you have a good secondary, you don't give up many big plays, you're going to be in pretty much all your games, given that they don't play Oregon, right? Like, who else is going to blow them out? I think then it comes down really to execution and quarterback play. The biggest question is really Jaden Daniels and how they're going to perform in the passing game.
Yeah, I like Jaden Daniels. I don't know that I love Jaden Daniels, if that makes any sense. I like him, but I still haven't – I want to see more out of him. I think he's capable of a lot more. Now, they don't have the wide receivers that they've had in the past, but I still think with Pearsall and Bunkley Shelton that there's talent there. But I want to see him have one of those signature games.
You're being totally fair. That is, to me, exactly how I feel. The progression from his freshman year to now is not clear-cut in terms of his ability to carve up defenses from the pocket. Too much of a willingness to want to run, to get outside. I think his athleticism is such that he needs to try to extend plays to still be able to throw the ball vertically sometimes. That's where you get some big play opportunities. The coordinator, Zach Hill, talked about it this week, saying that he would like to see even more of that. And I agree. Their receivers have been good. Actually, some of the top-graded receivers by PFF on a week-to-week basis, those guys that you mentioned, I think that it really is Daniel's willingness to fight the urge to flee the pocket and become a runner too prematurely, and BYU could test that. What they did against Utah that was a little surprising is they brought more pressure than they have typically done in the past early on in that game to try to rattle Utah's quarterback, and it had some effectiveness. He threw an interception, they turned the ball over on a fumble, and that really got them out of sorts. So is Daniels going to be in a good rhythm in a difficult, hostile environment on the road to start this game? That is one of the biggest keys.
We talked about this a couple of days ago. Would you say that ASU, if you're looking around the landscape of the Pac-12, is really the only team that we don't know that much about yet so far, based off of how this season has unfolded so far up until this point?
Yeah, probably the number one team in that regard, right? Just given the nature of who they played and what's expected of them. I still, even though Colorado looked good against Texas A&M, they knocked their quarterback out early, and that totally changed that game. So I want to see what's going to happen with Colorado against Minnesota. And, you know, if they have another good performance back-to-back, well, then you can maybe say that they are one of the surprise teams in the conference, you know, based upon everything we've seen. Washington, I still think that ultimately they're going to get better as the year goes on. Their defense is pretty good. I think it's been a little bit deceiving what we've seen from them. And just USC is always, like, anomalous. You just you never know what to expect. Maybe now they with Dante Williams, and they will – have a different sort of energy, and I think their schedule is really easy. So I still don't know exactly what to make about USC.
Chris, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. We'll direct everybody to sundevilsource.com. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Cartman from the sundevilsource.com website on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. Congratulations to Amy Beaumont. Amy Beaumont is the winner of the two tickets to go see the Cardinals and the Vikings on Sunday.
Home opener, let's go.
State Farm Stadium, the return of the Red Sea. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, that game is exactly what we're going to be talking about, because for the first time in nearly 20 years, there will not be Larry Fitzgerald at the home opener for the Arizona Cardinals. And that's weird. Next on the Burns and Gambo show.